But I was enjoying it. I could hear my part in there, and I thought, whoa, I haven't been able to do that for a while. So I kind of overdid it a little bit, but still in pretty good shape. You should have no trouble hearing me this morning. You missed it? Hallelujah. Amen. Well, you can turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. While you're going there, and then probably for a little while after you get there. My message this morning is entitled, Too Much Faith. Too Much Faith. I picked up a book that I had in my bookcase. Had it in there for years and years and years. It was printed in 1993. And it had been a while since I read it. And as I was reading through it, I thought, I don't remember marking all this. It was just, you know, somebody had gone through there and marked the book and they'd made notes and everything. And I don't even look like my writing. I think Laverne did. But it was an expose of a group of Christians that look at their main responsibility is taking apart other Christians and the things they believe. And one of the things that this group, that I haven't heard much from in the last 20 years, I guess they're still around, but I don't hear much from them anymore. But I still hear about the group that they were criticizing. They're going well. They're doing okay. We're in that group, by the way. And one of the things that they were very critical of was the Word of Faith movement. That we were a bunch of nuts that had gone way overboard in the area of believing, an area of having faith in God, and we began to be referred to, or at least some in the area began to be referred to, as preaching. Well, it's not only faith, but grace too. Mega faith and mega grace. Now, too much faith and too much grace. That's the only definition I can get out of mega. And it's my understanding of what's being said is that's the truth, that there are some Christians out here that believe you're believing too much. They're believing that you're trusting God too much. You can't just trust God's grace. You got to figure out some way to get your works in there. And if you don't figure that out, then you've gone off the deep end. Now, question again. Too much faith. Can you have too much faith? You know, I don't remember anywhere in Scripture. If it's there, you can show me. But I don't remember anywhere in Scripture, and it's, to my knowledge, it's not there, where Paul ever addressed the issue that, look, fellas, you know, you churches, this church, that church, y'all just believing way aren't too much. Y'all just expecting too much out of God. You need to back off a little bit because you know that there's certain things that are going to happen and God's not going to have nothing to do with it. And I know there are things that happen and God doesn't have anything to do with it. That doesn't mean that God can't change it. But there's no place in Scripture where the apostles in the early church erred too much on the side of having too much faith. And certainly, when you go in there and you look at Paul's writings, you understand real quickly that they weren't erring on the side of too much grace. Because Paul had to contend for grace. Don't go back under the law. Don't go back under circumcision. The law couldn't save you. The law didn't make you righteous, etc., etc. You need to understand the sacrifice of God. You need to understand what God did when Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead. Now, what would give the impression that we've got too much faith? Nothing bad ever happening to you? You just got too much faith because nothing ever happens to you. What about having faith and things still happen? Where are you going to turn? Where would I have turned last year had I not had any faith? If I just said, I'm sick, doctors say there's not much they can do, looks like I'm done for, I'll just go on to heaven and we'll be done with it. I can't expect anything more than that. Now, I don't believe that you can have too much faith. God has given us all the faith we need, and our faith will work for everything we need it to work for. The issue is not that we have too much a concept of faith. The only issue that I see is that I see some people trying to use their faith in areas that God didn't say anything about using it. Our faith has to be based upon Scripture. And it has to be based upon the context of Scripture. Whatever you need to do, whatever God's purpose is in your life, the Word of God says this: with faith, all things are possible in the context. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're trying to do something that's outside of God's purpose for you or outside the realm of what the Word of God reveals, then you're misusing that and you can't stand on that Scripture as a blanket Scripture that you can do anything you want to do because all things are possible with God. Did God call everybody to pastor? What if you just decided, I'm going to pastor because I want to pastor. I don't know whether God called me or not, but the Bible says all things are possible. If you are five foot 7, with not real good jumping ability, and you want to dunk a basketball, you can say all things are possible. As much as you want to. But when you're able to dunk that basketball, I want to see you. Now what I'm saying is this. Could it happen? Absolutely. Can you walk on water? Absolutely. If you need to, but just because you decided to, I don't know. And besides, even though you'd like to walk on it, do you really have faith to do that? You know, sometimes we get mixed up in about what we want more than what we actually believe. When you're sick, anybody will tell you, I want to get well. I don't want to be sick. Will you pray for me? I don't want to be sick anymore. That's just a human reaction. So, you're prayed for by the best prayers that you can find. But the symptoms refuse to go. Because you're waiting for the symptoms to go away before you really believe the prayer worked. And that's not going to happen. Call your attention to what I wrote in the bulletin. Jesus and his disciples were together. Or the disciples were together. And then Jesus came up and showed, came through the wall, appeared in the room after his resurrection. Thomas wasn't there. So they told Thomas what had happened. Thomas said, I don't believe it. I didn't see it. So I don't believe it. The only way I believe it is if I can see him and if I can put my fingers in the holes in his hands and put my fingers in the holes in his feet and my hand in his side, then I'll believe. Till then, no thank you. Once I have some kind of physical proof, I will believe. So, next time they were gathered together, Scripture says Thomas was in the midst with them. And Jesus came in and said, Thomas, put your hand in the holes. Touch my side. And quit being faithless. Believe. And Thomas did that, and all of a sudden, wow, physical evidence on his side, he said, Lord, my Lord and Savior, it's really you. And Jesus said something we need to really remember. Because you saw, Thomas, you believed. But blessed are those who believe that have not seen. Another statement that I made in the bulletin. Everybody since Adam and Eve have had to have a faith relationship with God. And you know, some of the ones that even had conversation with him. You know, the only person that knew for sure that God spoke to Isaiah was Isaiah. The only person that knew for sure that God spoke to Elijah was Elijah. Now tell me, what happened to him? I mean, he was strutting his stuff. Now think about it. He was just, I mean, he was, call him up here, it's time you decide, you know, that a decision. Well, you know, you got to, if God's God, we need to serve him. If he's not, if Baal's God, we need to serve him. Let's don't stand here between two opinions. Let's just get this over with. Let's prove who's who. And so they met up on Mount Carmel. And they went through the ritual of the prophets of Baal trying to call down fire from heaven to consume the sacrifice, and nothing happened. Then Elijah gets up there and he says, wait, let's make this even. I don't want to have an advantage. Wet down everything. Get the water. Now, where were they? On Mount Carmel. When were they there? During the middle of a 3-year drought. Where are you going to get all that water? unless there was a supernatural source of it, and I'm not saying that there wasn't, but I don't think there was, and I don't feel led to believe there was a supernatural source. They had to haul that stuff up there from down at the ocean. Or down at the river or from somewhere. And they had to soak everything down. There was a little work to that. Elijah prayed. Wham! Bam! Whew. Just like he believed. Just like he said. And then what did they do? They killed all the prophets of Baal. And then he went on and outran the chariot of the king. Said, you better get down from here, go home. I hear the sound of abundance of rain. Drought's over. All of that awesome display of God's power. Walking in the middle of it, directing it, if you want to look at it that way. My God can do anything. That's what Elijah was saying. And then Jezebel sent him a message. When I find you, you're going to be as dead as my prophets. And Elijah said, that's what you think, sister. You send them on. I'm ready for them because greater is he that's in me than your prophets. If you think that's right, you don't remember the story. He took off. He was running from her, ran out, hide, and hid, or ran out to hide in a cave. And you know God asked him why? And you know the best answer he could come up with? No matter what he said, no matter the exact words, best answer he could come up with for hiding in that cave? Because I didn't trust you, Lord. What, you mean after all of this? What happened? Well, I saw it all. But what weakened on him? His faith to believe that God could sustain him. I remember back when we first got into the believing in faith and first got baptized in the Holy Spirit and got in with the charismatic renewal, and we were hearing about all things are possible and God could do anything. I don't know how many times I heard people filling up their gas tanks with water, believing God turned it into gasoline. Because all things are possible. And you know, I heard a couple of testimonies where the people said that they had done that because they didn't have any other choice and it had actually worked. Because all things are possible with God. But just because you want to put a gas tank full of water because you don't want to go down to the gas pumps and pay for it. That's what you want, but that's what you really believe in. I want this water to turn into gas so it'll run my car without costing me anything. I want that. Yes, you want that, but do you really believe it? Is there a question in your mind that when you put that water in that gas tank that it's not going to change into gasoline? Do you think Jesus said, boys, fill up the water pots and let's see what happens? We don't have any wine. Let's try this. Put the water in the water pots and we'll see what happens. He knew what was going to happen when he had them put that water in those water pots. It wasn't just what he needed. It wasn't just what he wanted. It was what he believed. Now, considering all that, I ask some questions and answer about this thing of too much faith. First question is this: what is faith? What is faith? If you had 100 people give you a definition of faith, how many different definitions would you get? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 has an answer to what faith is. Now, faith, the entity of faith, the thing we refer to by the word faith, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, or the proof of things not seen. Faith is not something you carry around in your pocket. Faith is not something you carry around in your hand. Faith is not a bandage to cover a wound. Faith is the substance or the realization, think of that word a minute, the realization. When you apply that in its purest form, what does it mean? The realization. I came to the realization that this was true. I came to the realization that it was a long way to the top of that hill. I came to the realization. The realization of things hoped for. Faith is something that happens in me. It's a gift of God. Not of works. Ephesians 2 says, lest any man should boast. And that God, Paul said, has given to every man the measure of faith. What is the measure of faith? Is that just a little bit to get you started? It's the measure. It's all you need. You don't ever need to ask God, give me more faith. What you need to do is to learn how to use the faith that God's already given you. We've got to get it working in our lives. And we can't misuse it. That's why the world looks at people that walk in faith and try to maintain a positive confession. You know, when you learned how you were supposed to talk, did that have a big effect on your life? When you realize that I can't go around here talking negative, you know, about this and that, and it made a big difference in my life. It made a big difference in the way I perceive things. And you know, nothing is going to happen because I say it or don't say it. My confession is a reflection of what I really believe. That's why if I am weak in my confession, even though I want it to be what I'm confessing, if I'm weak in it, it's because I haven't really settled in my heart that this is the way it's going to be. But getting outside the will of God, you know, like some people, boy, Lord, I'm confessing that that woman over there is the kind of woman I want. She's going to leave her husband and I'm going to marry her. And I'll tell you something else. you got to watch using your faith on. And that's other people for any reason. Your faith will work for you, but it's not guaranteed to work for somebody else. You know, you can pray and believe for all your family members, for all your friends. But don't take the responsibility to pray harder or believe harder if they're not responding to what's going on. Because that's not your responsibility. Lord, they're not saved. I've been praying and they're not saved yet. I'll pray harder. And you know, the issue is they haven't on their end given up to Him. Does that mean that you should change? No. You keep on believing. But don't take the responsibility and say, well, God, I've been praying for 5 hours a day for them. I'll pray for 10, that'll help. But you can't change their will. And you've got to understand that the things that you pray for, and if they don't happen, God's got something better. You pray and believe for everything that God has promised us in this book. Don't get out here and start believing for stuff that you just want. Are you saying that I can't believe for a bigger house? No. But I'm saying you better put all your ducks in a row before you start doing it. I'm believing. I saw a pickup truck yesterday. I was looking for cars. McKenzie called it a pretty boy pickup truck. It's one of these kind where it was black. Big, super heavy duty, 3500 Ford. It's in the showroom over at Don Franklin. Oh, it was the window was right here on me. Kenji had tiptoe look over the bottom rail of the window. Jacked up, boy, that hydraulic system. I mean, there was that much different, that much room between the top of the wheel and the fender. Four doors, you know, boy, it was nice. Pretty boy truck. Some of you can just drive down the road, but can't do nothing with because you don't want to get it dirty. 61,000 dollars. Is it worth 61,000? You know, I mean, in the market of things, it's probably me. No, I'm not paying $61,000 for something. That's a truck.
That's a house, man.
Yeah. I looked at the gas mileage thing. It says this vehicle does not require estimated gas mileage statement. McKenzie and I decided, yep, if you can afford to buy one of them, gas is probably no problem for you. Just pay for it, whatever it is. 4 or 5 gallon. But you know what? Somebody said, I'm going to give you that truck. I'm going to pay for it and give it to you. I said, wow! What am I going to do with it later? You give me that truck, you're going to have to give me more income. It's the same way with a house. Somebody gave you a $1 million house, what would you do with it? Most of you take almost all of your salary, and mine too, or more than mine, to pay your insurance. Not your insurance, but yeah, your insurance every year on it. And your property tax? My goodness. You know, we want a lot of stuff. We don't take things into consideration. Put it all together. You know why we ask for stuff and God won't give it to us? Because He looks and says He's smarter than we are. He looks and He says, is that all you want? If I give you that, you're not going to like it after a while. If something don't change radically in your life, you're not going to like it. You are going to be stressed out after a while of paying insurance and property taxes and upkeep. How much does it cost to heat a $1 million house? To cool it off. There's a whole lot of people that don't understand. You know not what you ask. Is there anything wrong with having it? No. But don't believe for something that's going to cripple you if you get it. But it's because people have misused God's word. Same way with grace. You can't walk in the grace of God and live a life with devilish characteristics. You don't understand the grace. You've never had the work of grace in your life. You've just embraced the doctrine. When grace of God changes you, when faith comes into your heart, your whole mind starts looking at things differently. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, remember that. The evidence of things not seen. Thomas, you've seen, and you believe. But blessed are those that have not seen, and yet still believe. I believe that by the stripes of Jesus I'm healed, and I'll know it for sure when the symptoms go. You got to know it now. Does that mean the symptom? Hey, if you can believe God strong enough, if you can stand in the Lord strong enough, if you can confess great enough, if you can put all the things out of your mind that would distract to where you never have symptoms of being sick, more power to you. I'm not going to say it can't be done. But even if you can't, you have still got to trust God with everything in you to believe that He is the healer and that you are healed and that you don't have to succumb to the things that are attacking you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the things that affect my life. I sure would want a miracle if we were somewhere in an airliner and the pilot died and you had to be the one to land the plane. I'd want God to do a miracle. He'd have to do a miracle because you saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, I'm not so sure how much courage that'd give me. You understand what I'm saying? There's elements that we've got to deal with in all of this. But it doesn't mean we back up on our faith. It doesn't mean we back up on believing God. We go on. We continue going on. And we don't look and say, well, it all happened because you didn't have the faith. No, you've got the faith. Just some way or another, we didn't appropriate it correctly. You have the grace of God to live a righteous life. But it's what you do with that grace that will determine what kind of characteristics that jump forth in your life. Now, what? Why? I found out that when you ask a lot of questions, the what and the how are a lot easier to answer than the why. You know, doctors know what things do in our body. Scientists, they know what they do. They know how they do it. You ask them why? Well, because your body needs them to do it. Why? Why does my body need that? It just did because somewhere along the line in the past, a bunch of cells got together and said, you know, whatever we are, I don't know what we are, but we need a pituitary gland. Right. All of these little cells, DNA or whatever kind of cells they are, I don't care what you call them, that they all got together and they put us together gradually and eventually. Why did they decide we need to walk on 2 feet? Never get down on our hands and feet and run around. Well, anyway. Why? Why? Why do we need to consider everything about faith? Because in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." Now, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Now think about that part. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So where does the faith come in? It comes in because he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Because you can't get that kind of a relationship with God without faith. You cannot doubt everything every time and say, well, you know, whatever the will of God is. There's a lot of people that have died not because it was the will of God, but because they didn't know any better. There's a lot of bad things that have happened to people, not because it was the will of God, but because they acted stupidly. I mean, you know, you go out here and do something dumb and you get hurt because of it. What are you going to say? Well, I'm glad that's over with. Thank you, Lord, that's over with. It's like God planned it that way. If we'd have made a different choice, it wouldn't have worked that way. Wouldn't have worked that way. You can't believe, can you, that it was God's intention for some idiot to get drunk and get out here on the highway and have a wreck and kill an innocent family? How can you believe that God instigated something like that? He would have had to get the man drunk, get him in the car, get him on the right road, get him in the right place, and then take out the other family. Why? Why? Well, to teach him something. Hallelujah. Boy, I'm glad my God doesn't work that way. If I had a daddy like that, I'd be scared to death of him. I had a daddy that might come in with a machete some night and cut my head off because I disobeyed something, I'd live in terror and fear all the time. But you know, I respected my dad because I knew he never going to come in my room, cut my head off, but he had a belt. My mother had a switch, and they'd use it. Not to hurt me, but to show me that I wasn't going to do what I wanted to do because it wasn't what they had in mind for me to do. And it would not be good for my life if I were allowed to continue with that kind of an attitude. Now, I grew up respecting my mom and dad, loving my mom and dad, and I never, ever in my life had the feeling, boy, I'll be glad when I get old enough to leave home. Why? Because I understood the whys of the thing. Why do we have faith? Because without it, we cannot have the right relationship with God. Goes back to just read and hold on to that part in the bulletin that I wrote. What's faith? Why is faith? Real quickly, one other question. How? Well, I said that God had given us faith. How? How is the faith? Romans 10. Romans 10. Romans 10, verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you. The word is near you. In your mouth and in your heart. In your mouth and in your heart. You know why that's important to say that? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's hard for your mouth to say something that isn't in your heart. That's why it's hard for some people to say, I forgive you. Because they know that in their heart, that's not what they've done. They're just trying to say, I forgive you, because that's what they know they need to do. That even may be what they want to do. But the word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. The word is near you. What word? That is the word of faith which we preach. The word of faith which we preach. Now that's the issue. You've got to make sure that the word of faith that is preached is the word of faith that you hear. Again, going back to the 1970s when we first got started in this, a lot of the stuff that went haywire was not from the people that were preaching it, but from the people that were hearing it and just taking off in some crazy diagonal direction. And thinking that things are going to change without anything changing. Now, you understand what I mean by that? To think that something's going to change without anything changing. In other words, I'm not going to change a thing I do or a thing I say or a thing I want, but it's going to happen differently. I'm not going to work. I'm not going to confess. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that, but I'm going to be prosperous. And nothing changes if nothing changes. I'm not going to tithe. I'm just going to believe God to prosper me. Nothing changes if nothing changes. Now, I've changed a lot in the way I talk over the years. I've changed a lot in the way I act over the years. I've changed a lot in the way I believed over the years. I don't believe the way I believed 15 years ago, even though it was long before 15 years ago that I got exposed to the Word of Faith. Because if I stop believing, if I stop learning, if I stop changing, then what I'm saying is I'm as good as I can get. And there's no purpose of me putting any more effort to be any better. There's no purpose of me seeking truth now. I got all the truth I need. There's no point in me seeking any more truth so that I can have more truth so that things can work out different. The word of faith which we preach. And I'm talking about the word of faith that's preached the way the word of faith is in the Scriptures. What is the word of faith? This is the word of faith. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And when you get those things operating in your life, and you know that you know that you know, that it makes you eligible to receive everything from God that pertains to life and godliness. And until you're solid in those two verses, everything else that you confess, everything else that you want or believe, or whatever you want to call it, is on shaky grounds at best. But when that is established, and you know that nothing is going to lead you away from that path, then everything happens like God promised it. Verse 11, for the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him, and the New King James Version says, will not be put to shame. New American Standard, I believe it is, says, whoever believes in Him will not be disappointed. Whoever believes on Him, whoever has faith on Him, will not be put to shame. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, not just born again, but saved from every circumstance and situation that is contrary to what God has promised us. And I'll tell you the truth. If you and God and the ones around you can't get it done here, God will get it done there. And you say, well, you know, people died in the middle of something. You know, we were believing for them to live, but they didn't live. Now, I'm not using this as a cop-out, but I'm simply saying, hey, to go to heaven, you know, is that a great loss from staying here? Oh, my God, I've got to go to heaven? I'd rather stay here where I'm having these problems. We stay here, we live here, because God has a purpose for us here. And if we don't have a purpose here, why stay? Because we get attached to things. Verse 17, and we're done. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What are you hearing? You believe the news reports every night, your faith for being broken into and robbed will increase. Whatever we hear, whatever we are exposed to, that's what we believe, or anything else. That's why kids that are taught evolution don't believe anything else. Because that's what they've heard and heard and heard and heard. Nobody's ever told them any different. And people that do tell them different don't tell them with the authority that people that tell them otherwise. Professors say this is the way it is. It's like the time when I said my son went to the class up at Ohio State. First day, the professor said, when you finish this class, you will believe in evolution. Scott went to the registrar's office and dropped the class. He said, well, if that's what he's thinking, I don't need that. Too much faith? Don't think so. Misused? Possibly. Misdirected? Could be. But you know, it's too much of it. Because it'll do anything that you need done. Your faith in God. Well, actually, I shouldn't say that. God's grace will do anything you need done if your faith will activate it. For by grace are you saved through faith. Put them together. Don't be mega about it. Just be faithful. Just believe it for all it's worth. And receive all He's promised. Amen. Let's stand. Thank you, Jesus. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for just a minute. If you're listening to us on the internet, consider this too, and I challenge you. Ask you this question. Do you know Jesus Christ? Have you deliberately, purposely invited Him into your heart? Given your life to Him? And began trusting Him so that you know that you're a candidate to receive everything He's promised. If you're not, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to pray a prayer in a minute to take care of that. And if you want to be the recipient of that prayer, I want you to just lift your hand. If you're out there on the internet, you want to be a recipient of this prayer, all you got to do is say yes. Is there anyone here this morning? Lord, thank You. Thank You for Your faith, for the faith that You've given us, for the grace, Lord God, that You've extended to us. We really don't even know what we've got. Sometimes, Lord God, we treat the things You've given us like a little kid treats something very valuable. He just plays with it, pushes the buttons, but really don't know how to do it. Help us, Lord God, to keep learning and learning and learning and getting it more and more and more right so that we can receive manifestedly all of the blessings that You've promised us. Your grace is sufficient. Our faith is enough. And all because You did it. All because of You. Jesus, thank You for Your part, for coming down here, dying on the cross, rising from the dead, so that we can have this life. Bless Your people as they go. Be with them every day. Always keep Your Spirit visible to them. Prompt us if we start to forget. Even as You did Elijah. You came to him. You didn't wait for him to come back to you. You went to the cave where he was hiding and asked him what he was doing there. That's how much You love us. So keep that in front of us, Lord God, as we walk with You and are witnesses. Witnesses of who You are. And that there is none before You. None coming after You. And there is no other Savior. Thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and we will see you.